Good morning, everyone. Today is April 12, 2018. It's 9 a.m. at the County Administrative Workshop at the BCC Conference Room. Present, we have Commissioner Hare, Commissioner Morgan, and Commissioner DeYoung. Our first item of business is from Legal, Helene Lulich, Real Property Manager. A is Order Number 2018-034 in a matter of authorization of sale of county real property sheriff by the sheriff's sale. Helene.
I believe you have the order, and we would like to put these on these properties that are on the list on the auction set for May 30th, Wednesday, over at the Ann Busker, afternoon of May 30th.
Do Connie want to come up?
And those properties, on the list, please. There's been one change. We have removed a property that was called Ort Lane, and in its place we have moved up the lower Wolf Creek property into position 8. That's the most recent change, but otherwise the list remains the same. The numbers on it are the same. The information's the same, ready to go.
Okay. So you're asking to advertise, really, for this point, the whole process that we have to go through with putting it out there. We have a couple of pieces of property on this list that are pretty substantial that I'd like you to maybe even spend some money on advertising. Not chump change. If you look at the bottom line, I think is it the minimum bid or the market value?
You're looking at the Ridgecrest property?
Yeah, that's one. And the Rogue River Highway property.
Okay.
I would say those two, at the very minimum, should get some separate press.
I think there was a pretty good response on that.
There's one other one. Isn't there one other one that's fairly valuable? 160 acres somewhere, right?
I think you might be talking about... Oh, there's the...
Not the Busk property, because I don't think we're there yet.
No, we're not there yet on the Busk property. The 160 acres is the $8 mountain, and that's set at... What's our price on that? About $50,000, I think.
I just think that could be really interesting for people, and so it's a little different. You can probably try to figure out a way to build on it, I bet, or something.
Perhaps. It is on a big slope.
Yeah.
But it would be worth, it seems like if we're talking about the drone, flying a drone and getting some video footage, it would make sense to do that on those two properties, and then
the Ridgecrest, probably not the Schroeder.
Yeah. No, I think you can get a pretty good visual in your car driving past.
By. Yeah. Does that sound okay? We haven't really done that before, but the Ridgecrest one has already gone out there. And I just think for lack of publicity and the fact that the minimum is 400, but it's worth it. In fact, I question whether or not that minimum is a minimum high enough. It's a 60-acre parcel zoned RR5. That's a potential for 11 lots. Come on up if you
want, we do the advertising well, to Dave Streeter's point,
it doesn't.
The market will set itself in an auction. So if we can get some...
I've talked it up to a couple of developers. You really just have to have two in the room. Because one, you're going to get it for the minimum bid. So.
But if you get four guys at Barrett Jackson that all want the car,
yeah,
it gets even hairier.
Yeah. I know we've got some connections with So Ready. And we can connect with them. I've put out some feelers on how to get the information out to the realtors in the area in case they have developers in their pocket. We'll get the information on the website. And I believe that the newspaper would like to do a story on this as well.
I wouldn't mind spending a little bit of money somewhere in some publication that makes sense. And that's going to have to be done probably sooner rather than later, because the end of May will be here before you know it.
Right.
And so...
Is on, like, for instance, at the Ridge property out there, would it be, you know, to turn that over to, you know, basically, you get some out-of-town buyers and stuff interested in that many acres and
it's
the potential is out there? Somebody to draw up something really catchy that describes that property?
People have gone over all of the minimum bids and reasonable, fair assessment
those were set at a meeting that Connie and Mike Watson and myself sat down and reviewed each of the properties individually. And
because once we put it out there, you can pull a property, but you can't change it.
Correct.
So this is kind of the, when are you planning on doing that?
It's been done. They're set. They're in.
No, I know. When does it go out? Like, if we say, go forth, do I have till Tuesday? Do I?
You can pull a property at any point.
I know.
The next step will be in the weekly meeting. We will officially.
Formally designate. Okay.
Formally.
So we've got till Wednesday if we wanted to change something.
Yes.
Here next Wednesday. I'm sure the list is probably pretty close. It's nice that we have a few days to kind of just make sure. And we can change things at the weekly business session if something comes up. That's why it's 6 days later. So I feel good about it.
Yeah. So open up that WBS next week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Got it.
All I heard was BS.
Okay. That takes care of 1A. 1B is assessor. Connie and Chris, you're both here. 2A is resolution number 2018-019 in the matter of participating in the county assessment function funding assessment CAFFA grant.
Not
let's just get to the grant. What are the total of the grants?
Yeah, this is our annual grant submission, and so each county's board just has to sign a resolution saying that they are, you know, basically signing off on the certified expenditures, which is a composite of the assessor's office, tax office, clerk's office, and then some IT functions with the GIS duties that they help us with. So, that's basically it. It's an annual thing we do. Historically, we've collected more than we've actually paid into the fund, although in recent years that's not quite so true. Part of that's because we're so lean and mean that we're not keeping up with a lot of the other counties' annual increases. And so, last year we actually had a slight, about $76,000 donation to the fund as opposed to what we collected. But without these funds, it pays for close to 20% of our budgets. So I hope that we can approve it.
Yeah. It should be fine. We need to strike that balance because, paying in $76,000, we could hire another assessor, maybe change that delta. I mean, that's where we've been walking that fine line. And
that formula is based on the budget that everybody submits. And when other people, our budgets are going up and we're kind of holding the line, our percentage of the whole is less than it used to be, and
this
is why we're bringing in less.
Yeah, we're having to fight with the other counties.
This is what came to me, I think, last night or this morning. I would love to go to the city and say, we can do a more robust assessment. Your portfolio, school districts, everybody who appreciates more of a revenue stream because of this than us, if we went to them and just said, can you put it in your budget for next year? They're doing them right now. To say, kick us $25,000 if we get that from each of those districts. Just putting your toe into the water and say, we can hire another person and they will pay for themselves. Guaranteed with doing better assessments, more accurate and fair assessments of everything. My wag and your guys' is probably that there's $500 million of unappreciated property value out there that's not being captured. And that could be conservative.
Yeah,
it's hard to say.
It is hard, and you can't promise that because
when
we go out to a
better
property, we're going to find things that weren't permitted that need to go on the roll, yes. But then there's the other element of things that have disappeared from the roll and need to come off. And, it's a kind of a balance, and so you never know what you're going to come up with in the end. And
that's true.
To me, the fair and equitable thing is you have a better ability to do that, but increased revenue is really a hard point to make because we really don't know. It's all based on assumptions.
I would only argue that the things that are typically coming off the rolls were of little value in the first place. So things that are going on the rolls in a permanent fashion that are substantial in value, there's a lot of that out there, Connie, that I'm pretty sure that we're not capturing.
There may be, but it's... Yeah.
Just something to think about, and the time would probably be now, but I don't think this board is ever going to hold back from trying to do that 1%, other district participation deal. That's really important, so...
It would be helpful.
The other thought that I had, and I had conversations with Commissioner Freeman from Douglas County, their assessment situation is pretty tenuous. They're evaluating whether or not it's appropriate or something they can do of giving it back to the state. And you've got a pretty good reputation in Southern Oregon, and I feel the idea of maybe lending your services from an administrative standpoint to kind of oversee some of the things, maybe in Douglas County, either till they figure out, you know, what they want to do or get their feet under them, or maybe it's kind of a reverse situation with juvenile detention, that you kind of oversee both offices in a sense. Just throwing that out there.
I second the motion.
Right? Just something to consider. And I don't know what any kind of advantages are of that. But
we would have to provide some revenue to provide
absolutely.
The difference.
Potentially. Free, for sure. And we'll just figure out if that was something you were. You're an elected. You don't work for us. You can easily say no. But it seemed like something that could be just explored. So that's all I have. How much is the B, C, and D, this is the software that we're talking about, just from a standpoint of, like, I've been dealing with this for 6 years because we had an original attempt that didn't go as planned.
Right.
I think it went pretty well given, you know, how it could have gone. But it's really important as this will be a multi-year effort that you guys come up to speed. And I fear that in the time that we are given this morning, it may not be, it may not lend itself to the full breadth of what we need to talk about. Or it's short and sweet. We have an old software system and we need a new one. We've been limping along forever. We got $7 billion.
I've had conversations with Connie about it.
We've had this one for 20 years. We did have that failed attempt to...
Tell me 20 years, 6 years ago. It's probably longer than that.
Well, it was 1997.
Okay.
I was 3 months into my working in the assessor's office when it rolled out.
Yeah.
So 20 years now. And by the time this gets implemented, we've got a couple more years in.
Yeah.
Our failed attempt was probably a blessing in disguise, because actually we're coming in with a lower number than we would have back then, which is surprising, because I would have thought down the road the inflation would make it more expensive, but actually it's less than we started with. So.
And I'm going to chime in too, if I can, to say we're getting more for our money.
Wow.
This is coming with a website. It's coming with fully functional tablet integration, so the appraisers can be out in the field, the tablets doing
it with
paperless. As well as some other things that the other system didn't even offer. Thirdly, it also doesn't require us, at a reduced cost, to do our own data extraction, which back in 2012, we were getting a good deal back then, but we were having to do all the heavy lifting ourselves within the office. And so,
because you have to prepare your system to integrate with the new system,
yeah.
And that was a tremendous lift.
Yeah.
So with you know, it's a reduced cost, but also reduced cost because we're not having to do the, you know, hire a third-party vendor to do any of the work for us on the extraction. So it's and originally, they had quoted us a little over $1 million was the original quote. We've got it down to $570,000, and so we've been doing. I mean, it has taken a little, has languished a little bit, but part of that's been the negotiations and just trying to work out a really good, a very aggressive price.
And Lee has been scrubbing these contracts and reviewing them, so there have been tweaks along the way, and we're pretty happy with the end result.
So the implementation process, like, we move this forward, sign a contract, 2 years?
It's probably beginning the work in probably January of 2019 is most likely what we're thinking, with the rollout by 2020.
Pretty quick.
Yeah, we're not having to do the heavy lifting on a lot of the software configuration and design like we were with the other system, because we're piggybacking on a Washington County RFP with an IGA. Multnomah County has actually already gone live on the system that we're looking at going live on the assessment side since it's been a few months now. So unlike what we were doing before, we actually have a working product that exists, and it's not promises or paperware is the term that I like to use. And so we feel like we're in a really good position.
What kind of transparency elements? Assessment is one of the most challenging things. I don't understand it. I've watched that Deschutes video a dozen times. You got three houses sitting next to each other. I'm still confused. Is there something out in this system that would, you know, helps people transparency of their own issue? They can go online and kind of see what's going on, maybe? I know.
It's really difficult just because everything is so complicated and convoluted with this.
Where do
with
you start?
The way our property tax system
You're in
is.
Oregon.
So it's,
don't even try.
Yeah.
It's really complicated.
We'll tell you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really almost on a case-by-case basis. You know, somebody calls and we walk through it with them.
Right.
And say, this is why you're where you're at.
Yeah.
And that's almost about the only way you can really do it, to have somebody try and figure out and get through the weeds and the everything.
Because their comparator is their neighbor. Hey, I was talking to Joe Schmoller.
Yeah.
Their taxes are X, Y, or Z. And it's like, dude, I'm paying, geez.
Well, you know, it's like I had one this year where she's trying to compare to her like neighbors, and hers is way higher. And when I start digging into it, well, because when measure 50 went into play, she was on a historical exemption for her house, and when it came off, it was different than those people who weren't on it in 95 and 97, and so it made a huge difference in what her end result was. But you know, it's looking at odd things like that can make a difference, and you never know until you look at an individual.
Yeah, but by and large, you know, Measure 50 is working for the majority of folks. It did exactly what they wanted it to. It was being pitched as a cut and cap measure, and so it's done that. But because of, you know, the way it has to work, there can be some unintended consequences with some unfairness on a case by case basis. But you know that video is very popular. I know a lot of people have watched that. The website will have more, especially on the tax side. It's going to have a lot more visibility on.
Yeah.
You know, right now they're having to call, and hey, what are my taxes? What's my balance? And so all of that information from lenders, from property owners, will be published out there and with links to make the payment online.
That'd be great.
So.
That'd be really helpful.
I think there's probably more rumors and innuendos and everything going around about your two departments than anything else in county government. To be honest with you, it's probably the least understood, and it comes around once a year.
And it
once
impacts
a year,
the most people.
Yes,
so they just
really struggle with that. When I lived up on Beverly Drive, the tax assessor showed up, and of course, you know, he says, "You're here to look at that house." I was out in the street. He goes, "Yeah," and I said, "Taxes going up or going down?" And he says, "Well, I don't know. I haven't seen it yet." And so I said, "Okay, let's just go on inside." So I took him inside, and it was amazing because he had the list. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, they could only, the guy that built the house would not let them go in to see what was in there. So they had to make the assumption.
Mm-hmm.
It had a heat later fireplace. That it had, the garage was completely finished off. All of the above. And that's what the taxes were up here. By the time we went and did the walkthrough of what was actually there, he goes, "Well, you're going to like this because your taxes are coming down." It was way over assessed because they weren't allowed to go in. And I use that story a lot. People, "I'm not going to let them on my place." I said, "Well, then just don't. They have to assume the worst, or some level of the worst." So
we try to make reasonable assumptions, but sometimes they're
reasonable
wrong.
Assumption. That's very good. That's putting it very well. So I just think, you know, there's a lot of angst when it comes to your two departments. That maybe that's why you're on the bottom floor. I'm just kidding.
Well, I think we can move this forward if that's what you're requesting.
Yeah, I think that's okay.
We are.
Commissioner Morgan, are you okay with that? Okay.
That's real good.
Okay.
And that's all the way down.
You're all the way through saving for this.
BC&D?
Yes, absolutely.
I think that's a key thing to talk about, is where is the money coming from?
Yeah, good question.
Arthur's just going to have to print it, so get going. Get on that treadmill.
Yeah, no, we've been piggybacking it,
so
we're
good.
We've
got more than
great. Thank you all for you.
Yes. Thank you.
Have a nice day. So that got us through D. So let's go to item 3A, Department of Business, and Public Works is up.
Good morning.
A1 is the local agency agreement number 32545, state-funded local project program, Azalea Drive at Robertson Bridge Road.
This one is, this represents a grind. I think this has been stewing along in one flavor or another since about you got into office.
Yep.
So quite a few years ago, I mean, this has always been a not great intersection for those of you that know the area. probably 6-7 years ago, there was actually a fatality out there. It wasn't directly related to the intersection. It was a gal that ended up texting. She got all the way through and then put it in the ditch with no skid marks. But that got more attention to it as well. Over the years, we've added rumble strips. We've cleared out vegetation. We've knocked back hills to improve that sight line. But it's just, it's a tough skew.
It's not perpendicular.
No, it's a skew. And if not, I can hand out a map, Ricky. Either way.
Both stuff, right? One goes
one way. Azalea's uncontrolled, yeah.
Why is that?
A four-way stop there, it doesn't meet any kind of unless you want to have a certain amount of traffic, you know, per hour, and it's like 20% of that. And so you also run the risk of saying if you put in a stop sign out there where folks aren't used to it, that somebody just barrels up and rear-ends someone else.
It was brought up, I think, I don't know, it was one of the meetings or somebody was just talking to me, and they said, what's wrong with up here, like, for instance, up by the new handy pantry up there, little pantry?
That is a great idea.
There's a sign that says, through, you brought it up, that's why you couldn't
traffic
right?
doesn't stop.
The oh, cross traffic does not did. Stop.
Mm-hmm. That lane brought it up.
And that really, you know, when I'm, my shop used to be up there, and we used to just kind of drive on through there. But if when it says now, cross traffic does not stop, that, you know, I mean, a fairly good sign with road flares and everything else on it would be really nice. Mm-hmm. And that may cure, put that on the Robertson Bridge side coming either way, and that might help out a lot.
Yeah. So, other treatments, there's rumble strips out there to alert folks. We've bought easements on the inside of the turn on the southeast corner there to knock the vegetation back further yet. But again, it's tough. You have folks pulling up to a stop, and they're looking back like 120 degrees back this way. And if oncoming traffic's, you know, not doing the speed limit, as often happens, folks can get on top of you in a hurry. Sight distance is good all the way around, so you also get back to a bit of an enforcement issue. So about 4 years ago, I presented the RV Act the concept of actually even doing a full-blown roundabout out there. I think it'd be a great location for it, honestly. We'd have to buy some right-of-way.
A couple minutes ago.
And it got some traction. You were at the meeting, and it was kind of like, hey, this might actually work. And then as we walked, I think we're 10th out of 18 it scored, and then at the last minute, ODOT says, you know, there's this other high-risk rural roads program that you might fund it through. And so we tried that, and it was a bust. So it did come up as a potential project through the ARCS program, which is what you've got in front of you today. This process that ODOT does, it basically looks at intersections and it scores them based on how many severe crashes or fatalities there are, and it rates them around the state and says what's the potential cost versus benefit on this one. This one made that list. It involves a local match of just under 8%, so it's similar to the typical one we'll do for like a bridge or whatnot. But in this particular case, our local match is about $15,000 on $186,000. So what we would propose to do is have Kittleson and Associates do a study on this. It's going to be some kind of an actuated flasher that would be triggered by traffic coming on Azalea Road, adds a flasher up above on Robertson Bridge Road to say there is traffic coming. We looked at the option for going solar with this. We've got serious concerns about the long-term viability of that. These things tend to walk off. It's kind of like how high can you make the pole? So we would be looking at hardwiring this in place, and then the traffic loops would be out on Azalea Road that trigger that to flash. There'd be some additional signage as well. I don't know that it'd be cross traffic ahead, but larger stop signs, that kind of thing as well, would be part of this process.
What's the reason for not exploring the cross traffic does not stop?
Oh, we absolutely would. That's certainly one of the table.
I just mentioned that you're. Now we're off on the solar-powered flashing beacons and all the other stuff, when you could try the sign in the first place and see if it works.
Absolutely. There is no single magic bullet that's going to fix it all, but absolutely, it's a cheap fix. It's another
cheap.
Yeah, I mean, we've got everything else. We've got stop signs. We've got intersection ahead. We've got school bus stop ahead. There's a fire station. I mean, there's a lot of signs out there. That's certainly one more to look at.
There are too many signs out there. I get into construction zones, and before you know it, I don't even know where we're going.
I was just out there. I didn't really see an over-signage element, you know. Okay. And I think the stop sign is, for those that are using it, it's not too bad. I mean, it's written on the road. It's there. You're seeing that. I think for me, it's the... it seems pretty evident that other road is... They're not stopping.
Right.
You know,
right.
There's the lines that go through.
Some people need
I
to be
don't
told.
Know. Yeah.
And it's that every 20th, 50th car that's doing 73 miles an hour, they say, man, those guys are way down there, and they're on top of you as you pull out across there. And it's a long intersection to pull across. So it's just...
Because it's that way. It's not like this. You're going twice as far, probably.
Right. The sight prisms for how much visibility you've got are enough for a 70-mile-an-hour in some stretches. So that tells you if folks are...
Do people really need to be out to probably the line to get a...
To to get a good look at it. Absolutely. And I'd be hesitant to put it out any further than that, obviously, because now we're just about even with the fog line to the north.
I don't think I'd want to go out there much further, especially if, you know, you by the time you get out there and there's a big, you know, bobtail or something coming around.
You're kind of hung out there. Yep.
You're going to...
And it's at a good point as well with if you've got a bobtail or if you've got a school bus, it takes them longer to clear the intersection as well. So they really have to be on their toes to say, I got a longer tail to get through this thing. So,
well, the nice thing is if you're wiring it in, the lines are right there. And the other thing is that, you know, cross traffic doesn't stop sign may not appease everybody. But it sounds like what you're doing is there is nothing else to do but an overpass or a roundabout, people. That's it. You know,
right?
You've played all your cards, and if it doesn't work, then they're gonna, you know, you got to do an underpass or something.
The other option we'll have them look at as a process through this is to just make it an always-on red. So it'd be similar to like the one in Sam's Valley, just before the bridge, as you're coming through with the
on the stop sign.
Yeah. Yeah, just one more action. Because the fear is you don't want somebody to say, oh, the red light's not flashing, I'm going to go for it. You know, it's so.
Is there any, like, congestion signs on either side on the through of, like, hey, there's an intersection coming up, just...
There's not a congestion ahead, it's an intersection ahead sign. Yeah.
I'm interested, we've mentioned all this stuff. Where does the responsibility of the driver stop and start?
It's always the
everything. Drivers. Yeah, it's the responsibility of the driver.
I just thought that was a trick question.
And we could just keep right on going. We can make this thing so that you have to put your ATM card in a slot before the gate goes up so you can go across. You know, we got to stop it. We got to stop at something that
it's hard. You try to engineer for the worst driver. What does that look like, and how much does that cost to get there? Yeah, you can't make everything 100% foolproof. Obviously.
Right.
So,
well, this thing's been on the radar, ODOT's, everybody's radar for a long time. Let's get something together. And
it's not the absolute best fix. I think a roundabout or buying enough right away to 90 this thing up would be, but now we're at $1 million, $1.5 million.
Yeah, we're not going to spend $1 million.
And considering our match is $15,000 to get a good project out there, I'm excited. I think it's as good as we're going to do at this point.
So you're just looking for permission to go after to spend $15,000 on this.
Correct.
On a local project.
To enter into the agreement with ODOT. Then what will happen is we've already got a contract ready with Kittleson to do the traffic engineering for about $36,000. That would just be your signature and mine. Then the last $150,000 under that is what would be used for the actual construction itself.
Okay.
So for utilities, for the wire drops, for the lights.
So total you're looking under $200,000. There's a $36,000 in the $150,000.
Right. $36,000 for traffic engineering, $150,000 for construction. Our match of all that is about $15,000.
Are you okay with that?
Holy junk. That's a lot of dough.
$170 an hour for traffic engineers.
Or
I'm in the wrong profession.
$370 for two traffic signs.
I need to think about it. I can't. I wish I could just jump into it. Well, how much time do I have to? 9:30? 2 minutes.
It's 11
doesn't
now.
Doesn't that seem like kind of a, I mean, I see that as a, like, that's the bookend over here of, you know, we're putting all our, everything into it. What about it? Trying out a couple of signs. And
one of the things that I've heard in my walk through Merlin was, and we heard it when we had the testimony over here, is don't spend it in Merlin. Why aren't you working on this intersection? I think we've heard that more than once, that this intersection is a concern to the people that live out there. But what the answer is if you said, oh, we're going to put a roundabout in there, oh, you wouldn't believe the kickback you'll get on that because you're slowing down as you drive traffic. So, you know, this is going to be a tough one, but I...
Do ramps. Duke's ahead.
What do you think? I'm sure you have some kind of an idea what the $150,000 would be spent on. What will it look like after the $150,000 project? Kittleson depends on what they say.
There's going to be an actuated flashing red light that the folks on Robertson Bridge Road see that will tell them there's a car coming on Azalea. So they'll hit loops on Azalea, and that red light will start flashing as I'm coming up the Robertson Bridge Road. So besides a stop sign, I've now got a red light popping up here that says, hey, there's a car coming.
So kind of like the bridge in Sunny Valley that flashes yellow when there's a car coming
Correct.
Across the other side.
Correct.
So you know to... wait.
Mm-hmm. Or hurry up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or drive faster. Mm-hmm.
I just, gosh, maybe in the dummy. through. Now you got the flashing red light. Who tells them that that's what that flashing red light's for? Do you have a sign farther down the road saying
flashing
light?
Red light
cars
is standard.
Cars coming on opposite way when flashing lights.
That's federal and state law. Flashing red light means stop. That is federal and state traffic laws.
Well, federal and state law says stop means stop.
Right.
So,
I get it.
What if we step back for just a second, breathed, and let you guys kind of work something out as far as, you're okay with this. You're okay with the going forth with the study. And at what point, I don't know, but I don't want to work it out here today. You guys should have kind of talked about this, I think, as a liaison before this gets here. Maybe go out there. I don't know. It should have been, and you both are bringing us a...
Rob, okay, my only question is the flashing red all the time. Is it because it's people will ignore it? Versus what happens if that fails one time and someone says, the red light wasn't flashing, I didn't know there was a car coming.
Isn't right. that the case for everything?
Right, that's always the what if.
But
right.
the stop sign isn't there.
Yeah.
You know?
That's why we get those reports, we call someone out in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Go put up a challenge.
So, stop signs down or whatever else.
Those are occupationals.
Right.
Mine is more about the money. It's the cumulative cost is $300,000. That's not chump change. And I know public work stuff is expensive. $175,000, you've got to do it. It's just a... Is that?
I just want to make sure that if we get spend $175,000, $180,000, that we're going to, in some measurable thing, fix it. That's my only issue. I don't.
Did I miss the math? What was it again?
The total is $186,000. We would be on the hook for $15,000.
$15,000.
$186,000 does everything.
Yeah, that's engineering is $36,000 and $150,000
right.
for
I'm
the
sorry,
project.
Right. And I guess, Commissioner, what I hear you saying, I can't give you a concrete,
no.
here's how much this would versus here's how much this would reduce it. All I can tell you is, based on the body of evidence for traffic engineers across the country or the state or the world, this type of light will be far more effective at alerting drivers than putting up a intersection ahead or a stop ahead where oncoming traffic doesn't stop. I think those are all reasonable ideas to put on in addition to this, but studies show that a red flashing light will get far more drivers' attention. How do you quantify that versus one wreck stopped every 3 years or one wreck every 10 years? I can't give you a boilerplate that'll actually...
I think Commissioner Morgan asked the question, why not just a red flashing light all the time? You know, it's probably fairly expensive to incorporate the trigger mechanism on his head. Yeah.
No, and that was one of my early first statements. Is I would have Kittleson model it both ways to see what their recommendation was and what the price difference was.
Because
absolutely having the actuated loops out would save some cost. It only saves us 8% of the cost, but it would save some cost.
Yeah. I think the 8% is one consideration, but it's the total cost of this.
Right.
What did you just spend?
And we also have to be aware of what ODOT would say. This still meets the functionality of the ARCS program, right? If they didn't want to give us $180,000 to put in brighter yellow paint. That's
no.
an extreme example, but that's the idea, too. It needs to still meet within their filter.
Right.
So.
Okay, we need to stay within their requirements, is what you're saying. If we just did a flashing light the whole time and it only came out to $87,000, they would not want to do that?
No, they probably would be fine with that. What I'm saying is they wouldn't say, go spend $80,000 to study to put in four signs.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, good.
Right.
Okay. Well, I'm comfortable with the study, I think. It's what we're looking for here, correct?
And I think for business session prior to that, I can certainly... We can have enough time to confirm with ODOT to say, would you be okay with it always on if it came to that, or... Would it have to be an actuated?
Okay.
I want to know how much money we're saving.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, if we're saving $10, which I don't.
It could be
at least.
Yeah. No. Because you're going to put those. The loops are going to
be
800 feet from the intersection, so it would definitely save some money.
I think that's a reasonable request. I mean, I don't mind the stopping all the time. You need to be considerate of everything when you're going into that intersection all the time.
Can you do a light out there?
I don't mean to interrupt, but look at the striping of some of those things. They're not even coming from the right lane.
Right.
I mean, what if they miss the hoop and they're in the...
Sure, they go around the rumble strips. People make that right to go north up Robertson Bridge Road. They go into the far left-hand lane.
Yeah,
it's bananas out there.
It's not between the lines.
Would the constant flashing red light also have an amber going the other direction as a warning light?
No, because that's stop controlled. So
okay, yeah. All right. Just a question.
Okay.
Are we okay with that? And do you want to move this forward?
Sure. And like I say, this is just a matter of agreeing to say we'd exchange the money. If there's a ramp down version that happens, it can certainly happen with the guys. Or we just say we don't want to exchange it.
That'll come back later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is just approving the study, correct?
Right.
Sounds good.
You okay with that, Commissioner Morgan?
Yes.
Okay. I think we have to go forward with that anyway. I mean, it's definitely a hot top.
Well, it is out there. We're hearing it.
Resounding.
We got
it. Don't feel like we don't want to do something.
Oh, it's... So
there's two of these three that are a little gun-shy on moving forward with something that may albatross it out into something.
And I'll be the first to tell you the ODOT Arts and HSIP programs are very difficult. They're narrow because they want to say, here's one of these six fixes, use it around the state. Because it's less work if you're trying to manage 300 projects. And I get that, but yeah, it can be a round peg into a square hole at times.
Okay.
And if our match were 80%, I wouldn't be sitting here arguing much. It's 7%, I'm like, it's worth trying.
And then if it's not effective, then we're really, you know, it's like...
Then it's back to the
roundabout. You applied this universal solution... And it kind of worked, but not really.
It will be effective if we tell them it's effective, and that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
No, I think it's got to be an improvement.
More fatalities there.
For the Pinecrest plum tree. There haven't been any actually fatals there recently that I'm aware of, but there has been, quite a few significant wrecks. I don't remember where it's scored on by the tracks there.
It's the one that right by the cemetery, and you go up.
That's Pinecrest, and it turns into plum tree at the tracks?
I've had numerous
complaints on that one corner coming down the hill. Is that the one you're talking about? The left-hand corner?
I just see the reports of how often there's a crash and how often those crashes are serious.
Making the right going up the hill.
I don't know where it's at. I just know I hear about those streets a lot with crashes.
The one I've heard about is when you're started down the hill kind of by Lathrop that's on, goes off to the right.
Mm-hmm.
And now as you're coming down that hill, we've got the arrows and we've got the this, that, and the other thing, but people go right off the end of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't, and I know you put the little ball on the dashboard and it doesn't go far enough, so therefore it's still 55 miles an hour through there. But my question that I've always had about the ODOT, because I read an ODOT report on a local street here, and one of the things that said, ODOT says that the speed limit is 35. And if everybody else around in that neighborhood says, that's too fast, I'd like it dropped to 25, and ODOT says, and I got it from Public Works over here, no, ODOT says what that will be.
Right.
As anybody has said to ODOT, everybody would like to go 25. We want to reduce the speed, which reducing the speed, to me, increases safety. But they go, no, insist that it has to be 35.
It happens. No, it happens all the time. There's a process for requesting a speed study from ODOT. So it's effectively involves a percentage of the folks in the abutting street to
request ODOT. We're
doing that. Yeah.
We've already got a speed study down there, and it came back as 35 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But we would like to see it 25. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting pushback from Public Works. Said, nope, ODOT says it's 35. But can you go to ODOT and say, no, the people that live there, work there, and have to pull out into that street want 25. Is there any reason why it can't be 25? They go, well, no, it's that's a congestion and a thoroughfare and everything.
Right.
I need the reason why it can't go to 25, not just because the ball on the dashboard says so. Common sense.
We cannot compel ODOT to set a speed limit, but I think if you had that speed study, if you had all the residents, and then if you had local agency, either a board or a city council, writing a letter to say, we need this to happen. Eventually, the court of public opinion is going to force that to go forward.
Right.
I think it's the process of how that would work. Yeah. But as far as the speed zone requests, those happen fairly frequently, and it's just a matter of getting a petition going. We send it out to all the folks on the impacted road. They sign it. We go out and put the tubes out and start the process.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions for Mr. Brandis?
Sounds good.
Great.
Item 4A.
Actually, Mr. Chair,
yes.
I have to leave in about 25 minutes.
Okay.
I spent some time with Ms. Schmelzer. Yes, Tuesday.
One of those days.
Yeah. Can I request that we deal with kind of the business elements?
Right.
And then, if you wouldn't mind, you could do the reports up.
No, it's up to you. I'm fine.
Otherwise, I need to walk out of here in 20 minutes.
Okay, so which one did you like to go to? 4B?
No, I'd like to go to 5A.
5A. Okay, 5A, let's move it up to there, and then we'll take 4A and B after 5A.
Sorry. Can you take a look at that?
Okay, thank you. So item 5A is the personal service contract between Josephine County and Moll Foster. This is the North Valley Wastewater Treatment Project. Process has been, we met with we contacted three engineering firms, ended up meeting with two of them, and Moll Foster was the clear winner. We had Larry Graves, Julie, Rob Brandis. Yeah, we had the key players in those meetings.
Well, frankly, one of the other respondents was very well qualified.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And has done work on the North Valley.
Yeah.
And will likely be a subcontractor of Moll Foster. The defining characteristic, I think, for what the county was looking for in this group was really that overarching understanding of how to run a project, and then in for a county.
Right.
The other respondent is probably going to do, has done, a lot of the preliminary engineering, and it could dovetail really, really well, but Moll Foster really kind of gets how to hold the public meetings and all of the processes that have to go through for people to feel comfortable about this project moving forward.
Well, that's our communication with the public is probably key.
It is.
If you've got one that's better at doing that than the other.
And one of the things that we have a history, and Arthur was integral in the process of the Dimmock Tower being removed, and we didn't have a single complaint except for public health, and we removed the trash cans, and there was there turned out to be a rat problem. And
I shouldn't have done that.
Nope. I mean, that was the extent of it. There was dust, but they took, baited everything. It was really good. I mean, the traffic felt really positive about it. So
were they close? The two scoring systems, were they very close on their score? Moll Foster ahead?
Yeah, Moll Foster was ahead, and following up on the references with Moll, at least as far as our airport director was concerned, very, very, very positive.
Okay. The city is hiring them for their
Spalding
on Wednesday.
Yeah,
it's on their agenda to sign that contract for the
Brownsfield
thing. So
So what you have before you then is the contract that Legal put together for a personal service contract. We sent it to Moll Foster, and they signed it and agreed to it.
Okay.
The total cost is $89,000 for the project management and oversight and direction.
So this is ready to move forward?
And have the board approve it and sign it.
Okay.
And which project will be completed by this?
The North Valley Wastewater Treatment Project.
Whatever you want, Commissioner Morgan. The scope is broad. There's a lot of stuff that has to happen. The district has to change potentially its shape. We've got to compile all of the cumulative studies that have been done and get all of the recipients, the tenants up there on board.
It'd be nice to have it all under one roof.
Yeah.
And the benefit of this contract is that you have someone who's dedicated to that task and not trying to squeeze that
Seth's going to move down here. I mean, he's got the
for real?
There's another project. I think Ashland's going with Moll Foster on something else, too. So they'll be in the region. Like, they do practically move down here when they do this project, the Dimmock thing. They were here for somebody was on the ground 2 or 3 months.
It's just a matter of process, and so once this is in place, do you want me to be dealing directly with Moll, I presume, and forwarding them as needed? I mean, I've got stuff they can hit the ground on
Absolutely.
Right now. We're fighting with DEQ right now in terms of how much permeability at the airport, how much can we actually put out there. So, I mean, I'll forward that to him as soon as I get out of here.
Yep.
You want me to start it.
And I think we retain that committee within the county so that everybody's on board, Larry, you, Julie. And we are the team. I think they mentioned that in the scoping thing, is that there's still got to be a county team. It doesn't mean that we just get to walk away and it gets done. So we're still on the hook for those internal things.
It's good
Legal
to keep
is another
your thumb
one.
In the water anyway. So.
And so as a matter of process and just function, I guess we'll go ahead and, since it's kind of a not to exceed, we will get estimates from them for a particular task. How many hours is this going to take? Because we don't want to send them off on something that's going to burn a lot of hours. But how much do you want us to have? If I'm turning them loose on small stuff, 5-10 hours here, just say do it. Do you want to wait for to run it all through that committee that we've got?
I wouldn't mind if we had like a baseline and an expectation of what you're kind of talking about in a little bit more detail. And then we could probably refine things from there.
Okay.
I know that, you know, we've got the financial guy in the room, he's going to be looking.
Seth can give us a wag and say that's a 5-hour project.
That's what I would suggest, that as we decide this, we want this done or that done, that we touch bases with Moll Foster and see whether they've, within the scope of their existing contract, or whether they feel
if
that's
a bigger,
outside.
$10,000 ask, then we get all of us back in the room and see if they want to do this.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. One of the elements that we didn't mention as to why we didn't go out for a formal bid is because it's under the threshold of the requirement. Money-wise,
Well, yeah, and that's $150,000 or less. You can have the 3-quote, which is
we're
what
well
we
under
did.
That. So,
okay. So we'll go ahead and move that forward to the weekly business. Do you want to do a presentation on that, Mr. O'Hare?
The key word is want.
It's not the evening.
Let me read. Will you be there?
I will be there.
We'll team effort on that one. I think, Rob, you might.
I'll be there for this anyway.
Yeah,
so
yeah, it'll be perfect.
More information would be better than less.
Arthur won't have to carry the water.
More representation.
Whatever color it is on his own.
Be better than less. Okay.
I just have to make light of stuff.
Thank you.
It is good.
I'm good.
Good stuff.
Good with that.
Okay. Is it night session next week?
No, we did that last night.
Okay. Last night.
Okay.
We just got done 4 hours ago, so we're good.
So that is what I brought forward, the only thing on the agenda. I am pursuing the fee payment changes or the fee change process, so those fees are due tomorrow, and I'll bring those to you next week.
Next week.
For any fee changes that we have for the July one.
All right.
So,
okay. Thank you, you too. Should we go back to, you okay with four now, Mr. Hare?
I'm okay with seven. All of seven is fine. I had a quick adjustment to what I thought the weekly business session agenda should look like. Yesterday there was an element of the city, you might help me out, both of you, delineates that the council's going to respond to public comments. We don't have that on our agenda, and I thought that might be helpful to put after, you know, comments and questions from citizens that we're going to talk then, because there was reference to, are you doing the project or not, and it should be, that'll be addressed under item
right up
to me, or does that make sense?
Commission
take that
response.
Right after public comment, you do the answer.
Yes.
Okay. I think that.
I thought that could be. I was reading their agenda yesterday, and I thought, well, that could be something we could integrate.
Okay.
I'd kind of like to go through other, and then those presentations by the.
That's where you want. You want your change.
Well,
Okay.
There's a. That's just where I'm kind of going into other stuff. I think while Arthur's still here, I would like to schedule a time that the board can kind of discuss TILT and SRS payments. I was on a conference call yesterday with NACO, and those revenues are going to be coming in shortly after. So April 23rd is the deadline for those funds to be released to the state, talking about secure rural schools. And shortly after that, the state will allocate that to the counties, probably by the end of May for sure.
When they send the secure rural schools to the state, does the state take out money and then send it to us? Or
no,
is it
there's
the direct
no
passer?
Distribution. There's no administration oversight removed from that, but they do delineate the Title II and Title III funding. Where Title I is the general SRS payment. Title II goes to the RAC. Title III comes to the county, but it's specially delineated for certain things, and those monies have been freed up to do maybe some things with emergency preparedness or community wildfire protection plan implementation, which we're pretty stoked about. So I like that conversation because it's not part of this budget. We didn't have a determination. We didn't know it was coming. The other thing that I wanted to mention was I'm feeling like there's the propensity to potentially put forward exploring like a drought emergency. Or a housing crisis, a marijuana saturation. As part of Measure 91 was the fact that there shouldn't be oversaturation. And so just talking to legal as the liaison, based on whatever the outcome of your guys' thoughts are, that we explore that is something to delineate all of the challenges. I think that there's a misconception in the community based on what we've been hearing, that they don't think it's much of a problem. All they have to do is spend a day in here, your office, any one of ours, and they'll understand that it's a problem. And I think we'd like to have an opportunity to explain that in kind of a resolution standpoint of, this is why we are so passionate about finding a solution on this issue. I know you say it isn't based on marijuana or something of that. I don't want to speak for you, but...
Well, the bad apples related to.
It really is. I mean, it's bad neighbors, but they're bad apples. And they're giving the good industry a bad name, and we should be able to say that in there. It should be a foundational document in my mind so that when we're crafting a press release, you can just cite stuff right there. And it's just something to think about. We don't have to have a decision today. The other one that I wanted to bring up was the petition that we had to do a Second Amendment style resolution. I brought a copy of the draft that I believe Curry County, there might be the Coos County change in here. I think Wally has a copy of this and is kind of scrubbing it. I can get you guys this. It's a start. I would like to see us entertain something along those lines that we kind of just reiterate. It's in our charter, and that's something that we would want to. I don't like the word sanctuary as what was proposed last night. It's a connotation that I don't endorse. So
I think it's hard to define that one.
Yeah.
The word sanctuary just
but I'm okay
down
with,
all over the place.
With refining our position on the Second Amendment and what it means to us. And so I think taking the intent and moving it.
I think there's a real move afoot since all the gun activity out there in America, you know, the murdering of people uselessly and senselessly, that it is going to have an effect on the legal gun owner unless we say that it shouldn't have an effect on the legal gun owner.
Well, the state's certainly talking about it, and I think
and
we should be too.
Yeah.
So a balanced approach is key.
Yes.
I have a couple of things. I'd like an update on the emergency preparedness position. I think that's kind of languished a little bit, but not at any fault of anybody, but I'd like to hear that there's, and I've had a little bit of conversation with Sarah, but I don't want to presuppose that that's where you're at, but I'd like to see something. Fire season's inevitable.
Yes, so we were trying to have something in place by the fiscal year as far as a partnership with the city, but there were some budget issues that we were trying to nail down. The city has...
we're talking about Grants Pass.
Grants Pass City and Josephine County only.
So give some context, the regional proposal.
We were looking at the regional proposal, and there was no way that we could see of going forward with that would not be that Josephine County was supplementing Jackson County's budget. We would be paying more to keep them at their... Their agreement to be a part of it was that their budget not go up. When Medford pulled out, it made it inequitable, and that Josephine County would have to be paying more than we currently are and to pay the difference to keep Jackson County status quo. And both the city of Grants Pass and we had concerns that after meeting with Jackson County staff, we were having a hard time delineating what they could offer outside of what the current IGA is differently that we couldn't produce within our own county at a better level. Some of the comments that were made is they're much further ahead of us, that they feel like they would be pulling us along, that it wouldn't be a benefit to them. And so there was still some questions of that. So what we...
Sounds like the regional proposal's dead. That's fine. Let's move forward. The city...
So the city is
agreed... already. They've already agreed to it.
But
baseline IGA.
That IGA was never run through Sarah. That was not an appropriate IGA. It didn't actually meet all the services.
It was just a draft.
Yes. So we've edited. We're coming up with one that would be between the city and the county. The basic premise is the same as the regional plan, but between us, that county would run emergency management. The city would pay the county portion. We would hire two employees that would cover and be able to back up. We still would have the IGA with Jackson County for a regional backup if needed, but we would come up with a plan internally. We're trying to work out the budget to make sure it work out and propose, and then we were going to come back and say, this is our proposition.
Money's there. I don't want to wait for the fiscal year. I wanted this done yesterday. I don't know when the regional meeting or decision was that wasn't going to work out, and I'm not sure that I am totally buying all the reasons because it doesn't seem like it should be that challenging, but that's fine. It's dead. I want this done. The money's there. We can pay for Sarah right now. We haven't had an emergency manager for almost a year.
It wasn't Sarah. It was the second position.
We almost can fund that now, the Title III's done. I mean, I don't want to...
Title III wasn't a part of this
when we were having
that conversation.
Start with Sarah.
Yeah.
Solve our problem. Over time, you can solve, you know, Sarah can start tomorrow or whenever she tenders her resignation. If that doesn't work out, we need to advertise, and that's all going to take time. We're going to be halfway through the fire season if we wait till the fiscal year and not have this done, not have a person...
Do you have a timeline, Commissioner Morgan, of when you would have...
So the city of Grants Pass has budgeted in next fiscal year, starting July 1st, to fund the position. That was why the July 1st was the go date for the regional.
It'll take us that long to hire the person.
Absolutely. And we were working on having the plan in place. The idea was to work with Sarah about a time frame to get the other stuff done. She had asked us to wait to publicly announce anything until she could talk to her boss about that process over there. So that's part of why I haven't been in a public meeting saying this, because I was trying to honor that. I have said in public meeting that we were looking on another option locally. But anyhow, the idea that Sarah would be...
What do you mean another option locally?
Not the regional, the local option.
Okay.
So the idea would be she would come on board, we'd have the other, but the city's not on board until July 1st because it's something they're budgeting into their new budget. And that was part of that, the team would be in play at that point.
Any chance that when they go to budget that somebody pulls that out over there? Their budget committee says no, we're not
interested. So far they've shown support.
They've shown support, okay, good enough.
They've shown support all along. I mean, the council's been on board. I just feel like we were here, and it's going to be a year real soon.
At Sarah's timeline, if we can get that person on board here sooner rather than
later. My recommendation is I want somebody by the end of the month. The money's been there. We can start it. Offer the position's been offered. I want to offer it again, whatever it needs to be. But I want it as close to the end of the month as somebody, you know, I want to hear that Sarah's...
We have actually not placed an offer in... The offer they offered was not the financial that would make her come here. So we need to make a new offer that would include the premise of the new partnership that would justify the finance to get her here. So that offer has not been made.
It needs to be.
Okay.
Okay.
If you guys support that, I'll move forward with that.
Well, I need to see it. We're not offering 110 or something like that. I mean, what does it look like? That's what I want
to
see.
So and that's what we were trying to finalize was the budget.
Let's do it on Tuesday.
I got that.
At the executive session?
Will see if she's available.
Not her. I need the offer. I need what the proposal is going
to
look like.
So I have to...
Proposed draft.
All right.
Next week, Tuesday.
Can you do that by Tuesday next week, get something to put together?
I don't know.
Okay.
Whatever you have. Doesn't have to be perfect.
I'll do my best.
Whatever you have. I see an awful lot of elements to this thing.
We're back to square one. We have this was the inception a year ago. I don't feel like there's that big of a delta. I mean, start with what we had last year. HR's got something on the books that's
and I was
really
told
close.
To scrap that.
What?
And so we've
By
come
who?
Up with something else.
We're the only
just
two
minute.
People
just
that...
Minute, just a minute.
Anyhow, to say the least...
I see a question here that says, okay, get it on board, get it done, but, you know, make it happen, and then say, but, I don't want it to be this amount of money, and I don't want it to be that amount of money.
I don't give carte blanche.
I don't want to throw... Yeah, but I don't want to keep out there just going back and forth and back and forth. You know...
I got an initial budget offer that was more than we had, more than the city was willing to pay. I said, we need to figure out the numbers better. I got that last week, and I was at a conference. Haven't had a chance to deal with it yet this week. It is on my plate to follow up with. There's other stuff going on.
I'm just frustrated.
Yep, I get that. Okay, it may not happen Tuesday. It may be the Tuesday after that.
I don't know.
You think so?
I will get something as soon as I can.
Good enough.
I want it on the agenda for Tuesday. That's just me, but I'm just one commissioner.
I don't know if we would have a complete thing by next Tuesday.
I don't
Tuesday.
Need a complete thing.
Well,
I can deal with a draft. Let's weigh in, you know?
Okay.
Give some trajectory. She's
getting
advice on something from somebody, but it's not us.
I will try to have something.
Okay,
that's all I've offered.
Thank you, Commissioner. Okay, where are we? We have gotten so far off track on this thing. So I'm going to go back to...
We were on other.
Do you have anything other, Commissioner Morgan?
I'd rather go back to the agenda and we can go back to it.
Okay, let's go back to quarterly department updates.
Decisions, but I'm not here for.
Yep, you're okay. Record show, Commissioner Hare has another appointment, so he's leaving. Coming up is... 4A Community Development, Julie.
So, I just want to get my quarterly report packet, and I'll go through it with you. And Commissioner here, I'll go through it later with you.
Sure.
Okay, so I just wanted to go through the fees and things we typically talk about and then focus a little bit on what's going on in Merlin with okay. their visioning
That'd
process.
That'd be great. I'd love an update on that.
Sure. So with building safety, so with building safety, looking at the quarter, their revenues are up $52,000, so that's pretty good. And you do have, just remind you, do have those reports in the packet all the time. They had 25 new homes in this quarter, and with a total value of $7.1 million. And as you can see, it's not quite double as last year as far as value, but we're doing pretty good on the value. The reason why you guys see more revenue on the building safety side is their permits are based on the value of the project, whereas planning is a basic $300 permit fee. So with planning, our fees collected were up $9,000, quite a difference between $52,000 and $9,000. And we do an average all the time, and we're still above that average. We're $24,000 above the 8-year average. So we're still seeing that uptick in the economy, and things are doing good. We had 22 new single-family homes. The reason why you see a difference between building safety and planning is it may have taken some people a while. You know, a lot of times they'll get their land use permit and they don't come in for the building safety permit till a month or two later when they're ready to start the project. Front counter traffic for the 3-month period, just from the planning side, was 1,800 visits.
Wow. And you're only open 4 hours a day?
We're open 4 hours a day. The counter is open 8 to 12, Monday through Friday. Yeah, so, and this does not include the building safety visits. They don't track theirs, only planning tracks them. But, yeah, it's very crowded in there many days. Code enforcement, we have 786 open cases, 138 not opened, just a matter of time-wise.
Not open meaning you've received a complaint, but you haven't assigned a number to it or whatever?
Correct. We haven't gone on and assigned the number or created the actual file folder and pulled the tax data on it. Of the 138 that came in, 110 of them are cannabis-related complaints. So these aren't the ones where they're just phoning them in. These are actual signed complaints. As of the end of December, we had 146 compounds. We have 58 new ones just in these 3 months. We have 36 cases in legal. 5 of them have been processed or are being processed. There's 31 that still need letters sent out on them. 2 of those cases that were illegal, the county cleaned up. 3 were court-ordered where the residents had to clean up. And then 11 was Denise just working with them and getting them cleaned up.
What's the follow-up? I guess that department coordination is the follow-up to the court-ordered cleanup. The court order is a big deal. I've talked to people who said, yeah, I don't care what the court does. I don't care what letters you send me. I don't really give a ding-dong if you send me a fine or a citation. I'm going to crumple up, throw it in the trash. What's the follow-up? Handcuffs? No. It's another slap on the hand.
Yeah, so those 11 are ones that don't have a court order or anything. They just know that they've been referred to legal, so they're voluntarily working with us.
Okay.
So... just so you know, we're doing a team approach with the sheriff's office on these compounds where we've been working together with, Denise works together with Deputy Simon, and then they've been going to these properties together. They've really been focusing a lot on the Tunnel Loop Road, Hugo Road, and Jerome Prairie neighborhood. And what we're finding is, you'll go in and bust one compound, and then they'll just move it to another one. And we're working with the neighborhood watches, so they're like, just so you know, they moved it here, so we're able to follow it. We've been able to find the stolen goods that way. Stolen truck, I think, was one of them on Tunnel Loop that, and it's because the neighborhood watch reported it. Like a new truck has been brought in, stuff like that. So that neighborhood watch has been, that team approach with the sheriff's department has been very successful. And we've also started going out to all the neighborhood watch groups together, where it's the law enforcement and code enforcement working together at these neighborhood watches.
Well, I've received a tremendous influx of calls from Tunnel Loop Road, and it's on groves, compounds, and gunfire, explosions.
Yes.
Tannerite, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That is just, and those folks now, I've had 2 on Tunnel Loop, actually 3 on Tunnel Loop, said that's it. We're done. Nothing's happening. There's no movement. There's no traffic. We don't ever see anything happening here. So we're leaving.
There is a lot of activity.
Well, then the neighborhood, you need to get me a report on what all is going out there. So when the people call me, I can say, guess what? This is what we're doing out there, step by step by step by step. What are those things we are doing? When you just say, yeah, we're looking at it, that's gone by the wayside a long time ago. People don't even care if you're looking at it. They want action. We've been waiting now since 91's passage to see something happen. Oh, just wait. Boy, as soon as the state, and we've been telling them that. Wait till our ordinance comes in. We've been telling them that. We're not delivering the goods, so it's starting to look bad on all three of us commissioners.
Yeah.
And you know what? The key is that we can do anything we do here, but what these violations are have already long since been on the books. And it's just that nothing happens. I called it in. Ray did one out on Woodland Park the other day. That guy's been in my office for almost the whole time I'm here. And finally, they busted the guy. Finally. But that's the problem. People, and I know that we can't deliver sometimes, but their idea of what should happen and what we're doing by looking at it ain't dancing no more. Well, and when they leave, they're gone, Julie. They're not coming back. And those are, I said it in the paper, I'll say it again. These are really good people that have been here their whole life, and they're fed up because we are looking at it.
Yeah, so we get those same things. I will say one good thing. We had a guy who had his property for sale because of his neighbor, and he took his for sale sign down. He's staying now.
One in a row. I'm looking at 786.
One thing the people have to understand is we can't do anything about the marijuana. We can do something about the compounds. We can do something about the stolen vehicles and the junk accumulation. And that's what we're focusing. But people are still frustrated because they're seeing that marijuana. And our code does not allow us to regulate that marijuana yet.
If you call in an address and it is neither OMMP, it is not registered, and it's obviously got 75 plants out there, and you say there's nothing we can do about it, we can't walk in and say you are illegal.
We refer it to RAID.
Okay.
We refer it to RAID because...
And I need a report from RAID, I guess, how many plants they pulled up since RAID has been in existence.
Well, and they're not focused on marijuana. They'll tell you they're focused on heroin and meth.
Okay, then we need to.
So this is new that they're even willing to look at some of these other ones, mm-hmm. because, quite frankly, they're working with the marijuana enforcement team out of Jackson County, and there's other stuff going on. But,
I'm getting concerns from people. I know probably some of the reason, but why can Siskiyou County rip up 200,000 plants and pull them out of the ground because they're illegal?
That's California.
I get all that.
And they have different funding.
They have a sales tax of 11 cents a percent down there, and I get all that. But it's still a viable question.
My understanding is, and you'd have to confirm this with Sheriff Daniels, but my understanding is the sheriff would like to put together a team to be able to do that. I don't know where he's at on that. That's just what's reported to me from Denise. But, something's got to give.
It does.
I mean, we continue to get the complaints. I mean, just for the fact that before people used to file these complaints and they wouldn't even say if it was cannabis, now they're saying, and by the way, there's cannabis on there. The caseload just keeps increasing. The good thing is we did hire that other code enforcement person. She starts May 7th. She's a former police officer. So we're happy about that. She lives in works in California. Her husband and I think it's a daughter actually live up here.
If you could get me something on the heavier focus on tunnel loop, so that
I will.
I've got a half a dozen people that you said you'd call me back. I said I don't even have an answer. So this might be the answer.
I'll give you the ones we're working on and what's been done on them so far.
Please.
So I want to move on to Merlin real quick and just share some stuff with you. So. Let me just begin by telling you that Merlin has a plan. They have a community plan. And I put that in your packet for you. And it's basically talks about how we're going to run sewer and fix transportation stuff out there and all this stuff. And so
I've been working with them to say, is this what you want, or do you want a new vision? And they do not want, the majority at these meetings don't want the sewer. And this plan is really sewer heavy. So I met with them and talked to them about vision. We did a SWOT analysis, which is identifying your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And that's what I want to talk to you about, and then the progress that the committee's made. First of all, I just want to let you know the area we're talking about, it does go all the way to I-5. They weren't sure of their borders, so I had GIS run a map. So this is the area we're actually talking about when we're talking about the Merlin community that is in the, that is in that adopted plan that we have.
Did you get any input as to part of the people of Merlin and Merlin alone, their little spec here that they've got down in the tail end of this thing, not to include Grandata, but Merlin itself, say, started the tracks?
Well, you know,
and,
so...
What I found out there yesterday is we are Merlin, leave us alone.
Well, what they... So it's interesting at the meeting, they don't realize that Merlin, where those signs are, that's not Merlin. According to GIS, this is actually the community of Merlin.
Okay.
I always thought it was that little one where the downtown area, but according to GIS, these are the boundaries.
According to the people of Merlin, it is as you thought in the first place.
Yes.
And that's the situation that we're going to get the loudest pushback on anything we do at North Valley and the airport and everything else. They don't consider that to be Merlin. And if they don't want, because a lot of the folks I said, just leave us alone. Not a lot. Yeah. There were some pretty vocal folks in my walkthrough yesterday that said, you know, why can't you just leave us alone?
Well,
and so I don't want to jeopardize. We're going to go into this North Valley community, you know, with this whole program as a whole. And if you've got this little group over here saying, get out. We don't want you. We don't want sewer. We don't want water.
Yeah.
We don't even want sidewalk, but they do. I mean, they're okay with the sidewalk thing. We'll get into that later.
So a big part of my challenge is education with them, because they don't realize their boundaries. They thought that, you know, you put a sign up on the edge and they think that's what we are. And so, you know, I had to go through and explain. They're like, but my zip code is Grants Pass. And I'm like, yes, that's a post office thing. But as far as your boundaries of what is considered Merlin North Valley, this is your boundaries.
Who made that boundary?
That's the question I think I have. Where does
GIS is an internal department that somebody put some figures in. Anything they do is, I created a GIS layer for parole and probation zones, and, you know, I gave them the boundaries. Somebody gave GIS those boundaries.
So for planning purposes, their plan, their adopted plan that the county adopted, this is what we focus on. This is what their plan is. The plan identifies this map.
And where did that plan come from?
It was adopted, I think, 2001. I think Mike Weckner, former director, had worked with the community, and it went through the Board of Commissioners at that time and got adopted.
So can I see that map real quick? Because, I mean,
you do have one in your pack.
It essentially looks like there is nothing south of Merlin-Glace Road, that the border is Merlin-Glace Road, almost. And you got neighborhoods that you only access through this, that are adjacent to through here. How are they not considered in the zone?
I would
16,
guess that
17 years of growth since this was adopted, but these little neighbors here, why this triangle comes here and doesn't come flat here?
My guess is that was developed after, or they felt it could not be served at that time. One of the issues we have is these plans are supposed to be updated periodically. Like every 5 years, you're supposed to look at your plan, and I think that even says it in here. And it hasn't been looked at since 2001. So you have growth occurring, you have boundaries not changing, you have outdated maps. Anyway, so that kind of triggers the process. Let's work with them to update their plan. We know they don't want this plan. We know it needs to be updated. We know it needs to be looked at again. So that's the process I'm working with them on, okay?
Okay, if we take, we put this footprint, or I'm going to assume So we can say this is what's going into when we're asking for funding and grants and things of that sort for a sewage treatment plant, that the element of Merlin going on to the sewage treatment plant had to be there.
To show
usage.
So
need.
Originally, they did look at adding all of Merlin to the sewer district. And there was actually a whole separate sewer district, aside from what we looked at this morning. That was a whole separate sewer district that people wanted at that time. That kind of went by the wayside. So then we have this new one that we discussed that contract for this morning. And one of the questions is, do we need to expand the boundaries that new sewer system will serve? The people so far that I have heard are saying, I mean, some want it, but the majority so far have been very vocal and said they did not want it. Now, I know with the sidewalks, I'm hearing both sides. You know, I'm hearing people, I can't say anything at the meeting. With the sewer, it's pretty much, no, we just don't want it, is the majority.
But at the same time, they are looking for DEQ to find a solution because of all the people that have to have a sump pump in the basement of their houses because the water level is so high, there's no place to move their stuff. I had that same meeting where they say, we don't want sewer. They said, why did it take you 12 years to get a sewer plan? So their thing about sewer that I was hearing is they don't want it tearing up the road coming down the middle and taking forever to get there and causing the disruption of the traffic.
What I'm hearing is the cost to hook up is what they're concerned about. So I have, you know, I know of a place there that has a system and you go in and it smells like sewer, you know, and people have complained about that. We have other people, another restaurant who has tanks that are constantly filling up and they're having to pump the tanks. So that one would like sewer. We have other ones that are flooding out and water table issues. So we know that some want it. That's a whole separate animal I am not touching at this point. You know, I think when we get into those sewer district boundary expansions, that's the time to address those. For my purposes, I'm just saying the current plan is outdated. I met with them and said, okay, what do you want? So I'll just move into real quickly with you what that ended up looking like, okay? So, and you do not have a copy of this. But so we had two meetings so far, February 21st and then last night. And I asked them who they were. And the answers were pretty interesting. So these are the responses that they get. This is who they feel they are. Merlin is the gateway to the wild and scenic Rogue River. We are a rafting town. We want to be safe, fun, and friendly. We want to be a place people visit, spend money, but then leave and go home or stay in neighboring Grants Pass. And what I did explain to them was one of the concerns I have with that is the fact that people spend money where they work, and less than 12% of their working population is actually working in Merlin. So that means, what is it, 88% are working elsewhere and likely spending their money elsewhere. They want to be a community that honors our veterans, and I pointed out to them that almost 1 in 5 is a veteran, and 25% of those are below the poverty level, so we need to look at that as we move forward. They want to be a clean, beautiful little town, and they said, our town is run down. We want to get rid of the crime, panhandling, and garbage. We did have one gentleman who was very loud who said, there is no crime here, so I just ran the LexisNexis map for the last year. And again, we know a lot of the crime isn't being reported, and these are just the ones that were acted on. But I do want to talk to you about the panhandling, and I'll get to that when we do the committee updates. They said both code enforcement and law enforcement presence would help. Garbage and crime are a problem. They cited vandalism, burglary, thefts, drugs. I was talking to one business last night where he had a car dealership and he finally gave up because he'd come in every morning and his batteries were gone and the gas was siphoned out of all his vehicles. We don't want to look like a ghetto. Store facades would be nice, but who can afford them? Sewer would help some property owners. They said we need to focus on the entrance to town. Exit 61 does not complement our town. There's a heavy presence of panhandlers and drugs, unattractive, safety concerns regarding design, lack of community signage and wayfaring signage to promote businesses. Exit 61 in the business district, there's a lot of unattractive development. They said we want to and need to support our youth, and just, you know, that's almost 1 in 5 is below the age of 18. They said they want more for the kids to do. We need to develop the athletic field and create recreational opportunities for children and adults, such as softball leagues. So based on that information, I had them identify their strengths, weaknesses, and opportunities. The things they found positive about their community are the strengths where it was close to I-5. They have a general aviation airport, small town, lots of camping and other rec opportunities, a lot of history, gateway to the wild and scenic, gateway to Indian Mary, good schools, friendly community, Rogue River, unique niche community, railroad, and cultural activities. So those were the things that they're proud of or that they realize that they can that they have going for them. Weaknesses, transients, crime and drugs, lack of sewer service, rundown properties, abandoned cars. And I did point out to them that 56% of them own three or more cars. So they have a. That's probably why they have a lot of cars. That did come up last night, as well as the the number of cars that are out there. Nothing for our kids to do, need more organized activities and opportunities. This group felt that other people in the community will probably not be willing to pay taxes to improve matters. Apathy, lack of sense of community, and we need to promote ourselves better. So they looked at that and they said, well, what can we do? So their opportunities were we can clean up the town, additional code enforcement staff will help, sheriff's levy can provide us more law enforcement to address crime, we can work with ODOT on the Exit 61 issues, new lights as part of a sidewalk project can help reduce crime and add beauty, bring in more business and jobs, beautify Main Street, flower baskets, honor veterans flags, farmers market, signage promotions, satellite library, concerts in the park and other events, fix up the athletic field. Threats, things that they're very concerned about, which could prevent them from moving forward, was possibility for overdevelopment, crime and drugs, citizens not always like-minded or share a vision for hope, a status quo attitude, inadequate code in law enforcement, Exit 61 invites problems and undesirables to the community, Exit 61 safety, such as inadequate markings, lane control, lighting issues, and that was it. So based on that, we created these committees, which I'm just going to go through real quick with you. Historic assets is to look at the historic things they have and promote them. Social media is to get out a positive thing about Merlin instead of all the negativity we see. Then there was a theme committee. The theme committee originally discussed, you know, should we have a theme? Should it be like an Old West or a historic theme throughout the community? They felt that the political climate right now would not support that. So the recommendation to the group was that they, since we are the wild and scenic, let's work off of that theme and encourage businesses to always do something on that theme. Maybe oars out on your fence, fish on your fence. You know, Baldini's has the big elk, kind of have that, and perhaps do some murals with that theme as well. We had the lights committee. You do have a copy of this. This is just a draft. It's being tweaked a little bit, but they said, if there are sidewalks, what kind of street lights would we want? This is being reworked, but it would be an LED light with solars to keep down the funding on it. Oars coming off because they're wild and scenic, which would hang a banner. Every other one would be planters or a banner. The banner is painted by local artists where you give them a canvas and they have to paint something.
Who did you get all this from? Because when I'm talking to the people yesterday, that's exactly what they don't want. They don't want to become Jacksonville. They want to remain Merlin.
Okay.
Why are we not listening to them?
Okay, so we had 48 people there.
Last night?
48 at the first meeting, 46 last night.
Okay.
Of the ones last night, I would say not quite half had been at the earlier meeting as well. So the first meeting, we said, what would you like? And from that, we said, okay, well, let's put a committee together to do that. Last night, there was mixed feelings on it. Some of them want this, and then some are like, nope, we don't want sidewalks. We don't even want to talk about lights. So these are basically the first group that said supported having committees to look at stuff. And again, like I said, there is a just like the marijuana issue, we have people out there that want to talk about this stuff but are intimidated or won't speak up. Some of them were speaking up last night at the meeting. So anyway, and then this would just have stonework on it.
Okay, well, we're talking about this, and the sidewalks didn't come up last night. I'm trying to get something done out there, even if it's not full bore. That's full bore. Lights, banners, branding, committees, da-da-da-da-da-da. You know what that does to the folks? The Merlin people say, we don't want that. We don't want any of the above. But if, as far as I'm concerned, if we're going to continue on this thing of, okay, we're going to put conduit in the sidewalk. You put conduit in the sidewalk, the anti-light people go, well, because you're putting lights in. This is a camel nose under the tent is what they're viewing this sidewalk project to be. And if it's that contentious out there, and that's the way it is, I went out there and just said, how about if it's just a sidewalk? And then we talked bump outs and we talked striping and so on and so forth. We did all of that. But if we go back now and say, oh, it's sidewalks, and oh, by the way, we're going to put this, 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 because we want that, whether you do or not, I'm willing to take the whole thing, pull the plug on anything in Merlin, and leave them alone, because that's what they want.
That's what some of them want.
And they're very loud, and they're very intimidating, and I am not going to force Grant's Pass on them.
Correct.
That's what they don't want.
Correct.
And so, this is what it feels like to them.
Well, so in these visioning meetings, these are the ones that are seeing a vision for themselves, something they want to see happen. They understand that this is part of a process. And I explained to them this summer, now that we have visions, we can come up with a draft plan and we can actually do some surveying over the summer to nail it down and see really where they want to go. So these are the first steps of that visioning process.
Are you giving them the option of saying, you know, you don't have to have any of this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I explained that to them.
They said, you're just, you know, you're not listening to what we said. And I, you know, listened to it yesterday. I said, so if you just, you, are you okay with the sign? Right? I said, well, we don't see any reason for it. We think it's a waste of money. I said, but do you see any harm? You don't see any, I don't see any advantage to it. I said, but do you see any harm in having a sidewalk in front of your bike? No, I guess I don't. So we can get that sidewalk thing in. We can get that sidewalk thing in. But we continue to push for everything else along with the sidewalk. I'll pull the sidewalk project.
This is not a push at this time. Like
I'll
I said,
pull my these, support of it.
These are their visions of what they want so far. These are just, and like I explained to them last night, very initial stages of creating a vision for them that I'll work on and I'll put together. And we have groups that keep reviewing it and drafting it. There has to be community surveying on this as well. One of the problems I see is it's very conflicting. We have crime, we're run down, we look terrible. But yes, we don't want this, we don't want this, we don't want this.
Now you and said then some are saying we want this. Survey on the sidewalk?
No, I'm not doing a survey on the sidewalk. I'm a visioning plan and the stuff that they're recommending to see you gauge the support. Because
I have, I had an issue with who was noticed on the sidewalk. Because I got the list of who was noticed on the sidewalk. Visalia, California, Medford. A lot of Grants Passes, Winchester, they were all over the map. There was probably half of them that actually it affected them. So that's why I went and talked to the businesses, the people who are going to be affected. And they came back, okay, now, yeah, we see what it is. There was a lot of misconception that was never explained to them. I mean, their idea of what this was going to be was all over the map. And when we had the big board out, what we had in here, I took that out there, explained exactly what it was going to look like, they're on board. And then we come back and we continue to push on, you need a branding. Merlin says, the people I talk to that are in business there, that I think have a skin in the game, they right now are not, you've got to sell that to them. Mm-hmm. But maybe now is not the time to sell it to them. We got to get the sidewalk project in first and let them, they're going to be very slow to come on board. But, you know, I guess the committees can have all their meetings and whatnot. But I want to get that sidewalk project done on time because we've already signed a contract. And if we can get that sidewalk project in and it's done and was paid for, then that's good. But if we go in there like we did before and say, well, it's going to bump out, it's going to have this, that, this, this, and there's nothing you can say about it. Yeah. They'll do exactly what they do every time, and they'll come over here to Ambassador and lay us away for not listening to them.
So with these, like I explained to them, these are just ideas that came up if you have comments or anything. And I explained to them we would not be meeting as a group again until after the summer. Okay. So they know that this is the initial stages.
This gives them something to think about.
It gives them something to think about, get me feedback.
What was the general feeling at the meeting last night?
Well,
I mean, did they lay you away? I was thinking about
it. There's always a couple negative ones, but overall I thought it went good. Jan Slesser, the woman who opens it up for us, she thought it went good. Brian Hawkins, who's the other volunteer on the project, he thought it went good. You know, we had, of course, in the beginning there's this negative voice, committees are horrible, why are you doing this? And, you know, partway through, this lady, the same lady's like, I'd like to be on a committee. So, you know, you're dealing with these anger and fear, and then once they realize what you're doing, it ends up being a positive meeting. Like I said, we have the first meeting, there was, I would say, one very loud voice. He wasn't there last night, but there were
a couple. I know he told me he wasn't going to go. I told him, good, that's very good.
He's why I bought the crime map. Anyways, and then, so we had a couple last night, but they calmed down once they realized that, you know, I explained to them, this is what your plan is. This is what's on the books. This is what's adopted. This is what we are obligated to follow at the current time. And if you don't like it, we need to make some changes.
Okay.
So let me just keep going real through real quick.
Yes.
Then we had events and promotions. They haven't met. Signage, they have met. They came up with something that they would like to see down by exit 61, and then new community signs. And it was going on that theme of the wild and scenic.
Okay.
And then beautification committee, they had not met. Exit 61 committee met, and we made a lot of progress with ODOT already. So there was concerns with the striping, and ODOT admitted that there probably wasn't enough reflective stuff in the paint when they did the lane, so they're going to look at that. They're having their traffic engineer look at the design. They recognize that the signs which tell you to go to I-5 could be in a better location, so they're changing that. We talked to them about the landscaping and how bad it is out there. They've already went out and started shoring up the landscaping, which also helps reduce hiding places for people or sleeping places for people. So the exit 61 has already started making some good improvements. One thing there, as I indicated to you, that they were concerned about panhandling. ODOT can put up no panhandling signs out there, and then OSP give the drivers tickets if they are giving people money or gifts or whatever.
There's an ordinance in Grants Pass, Medford. I talked to Art Anderson about it. Well, I don't know how we can do that. I said, you do it in Roseburg on your Garden Valley exit that goes to your transportation headquarters.
Right. So
read it next time you get off the exit. Read it.
Okay, so what we did is we talked to ODOT about that. And they can put the signs up as long as I have a letter from the commissioners requesting them to do so. So what I and the group last night, it was unanimous. Yes, we want the commissioners to do
Please.
That. And then I also talked to them, would they like to see a community-wide ordinance specific for that entire Merlin map on the panhandling? And again, it was the unanimous yes. So that is something I haven't talked to my liaison about yet because it just happened last night. But that's something that I will probably be that I will, if you're okay, I'll be bringing forward to you because it's something that they resoundingly wanted.
We have talked with the city about beautification at on and off ramps. I was told by Mr. Anderson, Art Anderson, he goes, well, we don't ever do anything with landscaping on anything. It's South Y, 58, 55. We won't do anything with that unless it's part of a project to revamp the intersection. Then it will all be taken care of while they're revamping the interstate. It's part of that project. I said, Merlin. Oh, well, I said, Merlin. It's in Josephine County. Merlin. You redid that entire overpass and off-ramp. Nothing out there.
Yes.
There isn't so much as one tree planted. No grass. No nothing. Merlin. You ignore Josephine County. End of conversation.
So our Exit 61 committee... So they're going to, our contact is George Harshman on it, and so he's going to, he can't do landscaping right as far as planting stuff, he has to budget for that, but as far as the cleanup, he's working with the corrections, community corrections to do cleanup, and I sent you a picture where they already started, where the highway crew already started clearing up the trees and everything, so we are doing some landscape, we did make some headway to get some stuff done out there, and we're going to continue on, because that is something that the group... Right away, they're like, yeah, and they just, that was really important to them. So we're working on that. Parks and Youth Committee was our last committee, and there's discussions about new signage, adding, improving the basketball court, doing some more work out there. So we're going to meet with the Parks Board out there and discuss some things.
I had numerous complaints. We have a park, and kids aren't allowed to use it. I had that from half a dozen people yesterday. I said something, and I said, well, the park, you know. They want kids to do something around here, but then they close the park and kids can't.
They have their own parks board, so that would be a
problem. And I said, you have your own park board. I think that's an issue you need to take up. I said, that's not a county park. If it was a county park, you're okay.
What's interesting is the ownership shows it's Three Rivers and Josephine County. So, yes, and so I told the park board last night I'd like to schedule something. They're supposed to be getting a hold of me this week yet.
Three Rivers
School District.
School District.
And Josephine County.
We're the school.
So the school and the community center and the ball field are all one big property.
Okay.
We're all on that together. So anyways, we do have trying to set up the meeting to meet with the Parks Board was there last night, but to have a meeting just with them, our little subcommittee and the Parks Committee, to actually start looking at those issues. And Commissioner DeYoung, I think as you know, we had talked with Marta from Business Oregon, had talked about how the Regional Solutions has funded ballparks. So I looked at that as a potential funding source for that ballpark. So, again, there's positive energy on a lot of this. There's some negative stuff because there's some angst over the sidewalks. But in general, people are in favor of getting rid of that plan and looking at something. They may not agree on the lights. Like, some people don't want lights at all. No. But, again, that's why we have to do that whole survey.
Okay, well, let's just right now, if we can kind of keep things at a dull roar until we get this thing done. The sidewalks thing?
Yeah, it's done until after summer is what I told them. Well, and we'll do some surveying over summer.
Thank you for having community meetings.
Yeah, it's... We haven't done planning in the past, so it's nice to actually...
That one's hard if you don't want it. Oh, that one's yours. Gotcha.
Anyways, so that's it.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, thank you very much. We'll be in touch. You know that. Okay, so we got done with Public Works, and we're done with Community Development. Fairgrounds, finally. Well, only one left is Mary Grove. The only one left.
I don't know where Peggy went.
Julie, if you see Peggy out there, will you holler at her?
Yes,
sir. She's on the phone with horse racing.
So she's finally
out. I hear her. She's coming.
Yeah.
How's Mary Groves this morning?
I'm good.
Good. Sorry to keep you waiting, Peggy.
Ryan?
Ryan's part of our team, too.
Oh, okay, good.
I was wondering what you were here for.
Yeah,
he's here for us.
I asked you to see.
We requested him to be with us today. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're the happy group.
Yay!
We have good news.
It's been a rough couple of weeks.
I've invited Ryan and Mary to both be here so that we can talk a little bit. She's got a lot of things going on with grants. I think you have in front of you basically what, so you can read that, you know, probably when you have another time. But let's go ahead and start with Mary, and then Ryan's going to share with us where we're at and where he and Mary are at, and we'll go forward from there.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start with the kitchen because the other part is more. Yeah, as you know,
the
commercial kitchen in the pavilion.
In the pavilion, because there's pavilion. Another kitchen, isn't there? Yes, in the
well, it's
the arena house building. One.
There's kitchens everywhere.
This is the pavilion kitchen. The only commercial kitchen that we have, and it's not a certified commercial kitchen. So what I did was go to Curtis Equipment and get a big estimate, and it's $100,000. So
what does that include?
Everything, new appliances, moving the main range hood. The big range hood is the biggest expense. It's about $50,000 for a 22-foot hood that's installed.
Where are you getting quotes?
That's Curtis. Yeah, that's coming directly from Curtis Restaurant Equipment in Medford. So, and we'll do, what the whole story is it's $100,000 and I'm writing grants based on $100,000. I don't know how much money we're going to get. I actually have grants out now. By the time there's two of them that I can't do until June because it's a July deadline, so or that's when they open them. So right now I have grants out from the West Family Foundation, Cheney's Later, Four-Way Foundation, Carpenter. I'll be writing this next week. The Collins Foundation is a new one, and that's a pending letter of inquiry. That's out. Arthur Dubbs Foundation, I've already written for. Cow Creek, I've written for $10,000, and they've actually already done a site visit on April 2nd. And, I mean, that's coming really quickly. So I'm waiting for things back from these people so that we know how much money we're going to have. Once we know how much money we're going to have, then we'll figure out with Ryan, and we get three bids on everything or however he needs to do it with the county. And we'll go from there. As to what we can do, I'd really like to move that big hood over the rain, over the equipment. Our equipment was bought in 1960 when they built the building. And two of those ovens don't work at all, right? There's two of them that can't be repaired. So there's a lot of issues in that commercial kitchen. If you've never walked in there, you need to walk in there. Actually, the lady from Cow Creek was amazed that we even do things in there. So, it's a visit. Actually, it's a visit for you, Dan, if you haven't been in there. And it just needs to be totally redone. And the only two things we can probably save are the dishwasher and the three sinks.
Yeah.
The stainless steel sinks. The rest of it needs to be refurbished.
Okay.
There's no question. And it's also for emergency services. If we have to use that kitchen for emergency services, that's one of the things I'm pitching to these people. The county needs to be better prepared for that. And we need the certified kitchen. And that's what our goal is, to make it a certified kitchen in the end. So for that one, that's where that kind of is right now. I've got most of the grants written for that. The other two that I have to still write aren't open yet, so I can't write for them until closer to July.
If you got all of the grants, would you be well over $100,000?
No.
I mean, are you writing grants
no.
for more
I'm writing than grants based on the $100,000.
Okay.
And what I asked for from Curtis Equipment was, here's the room. If you had everything you wanted, what would it be? What would it cost us? That's where I got the
$100,000.
The $100,000.
The one thing I hadn't asked you is, you were looking at moving the hood.
Mm-hmm.
Did they include any kind of roof work or any of that piece, or are they just providing the hood and mounting it? Because the actual exhaust
they actually just based it. They didn't know we were going to move it when we actually did the $100,000, but. I think with the appliances that we have, well, once we know how much money we have, we can shorten or lengthen those appliances and make some adjustments to the hood as well. I'd really like to move it to the side. The hood right now is right in the middle of the kitchen, and so are the appliances, so you have to walk around to get to anything.
I'd be interested in what their proposal is, because are they replacing, when you say a hood, are they going to take the 20-year-old or 40-year-old fan up there? Is that adequate? I don't think it would be.
It's just a warming kitchen now, and it's not coated at all.
That's not the question I'm asking.
Yeah.
Scope of work on what they say a hood is $50,000. Does that include the fan,
the sprinkler system,
ampoule system, and all of that? Does it go up to the roof and an engineered to let you know what CFM this thing's going to pull from the hood itself and what style filters in it and everything?
Right.
Once we get the money and we start moving forward, I'll put together a spec. We'll make sure that, great, everything's dotted and crossed. And then everybody's bidding out.
But they did actually bid out. They had somebody that does the actual building of the hoods. They had them come measure, do all kinds of stuff, and give them the estimate for what it would be. Yeah. So that's where that $50,000 came from, just for that hood. The other 50, the appliances are reasonable. I mean, they're really pretty reasonable. It's the hood that's the expensive part. So anyway, we're moving forward with the kitchen and trying to get grants for that. We also have, and I think Peggy might have it on her thing too, First Community Bank. We got $20,000 from them to do some 4-H storage sheds for fair, and they're going to do a little frontier community out of these storage sheds. There's 24 storage sheds, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And between the $20,000 they got from First Community and Home Depot is pitching in, and they're going to come out and set them up. And then the 4-H kids have to design, some of the 4-Hs, there's a lot of kids, so they have to do a group in some of them. But the bigger 4-H clubs will have, you know, one of them's going to be a bank.
They're going to be an assay office and a saloon on the west side, like a Western storefront.
Right, yeah. And it'll be at the back towards Public Works. So it'll draw people back into that whole 4-H area for fair. So I think it's really nice for First Community to step forward with that $20,000.
Well, the other thing, too, is that you can take that. So if you do a barbecue or we do something, a project ourselves, you can move those up because they'll be put on skids. They're going to put them on skids, so you can just lift them up with a fork.
Western wedding or something.
Mm-hmm. It can be an income stream because you can actually rent them out.
They will belong to the fairgrounds. So, okay. So then we get to the arena, our favorite part, the arena. Actually, some really good news. I had written a grant application to the Ford Foundation for $150,000, and on my cell phone just a few minutes ago, I have a site visit in August from Ford. So I'm going to want a site visit, which means they want more information. They want to come in. Yeah. So I'm gonna want you for sure. Okay. And we're looking at August 13th right now, which is right before fair.
And I'm looking at you too. So hopefully you're.
Well, fairgrounds are looking at best then.
Yeah. But August 13th is one of the times that they have, and that was Peggy's gone, and some of the other times, and the middle times are right during fair. So if we have to,
I would suggest that. Ryan, come along to ask for an
Sure. I want both of you.
You're going to be
that. I believe that week is a really bad week for me. I don't know that I'll be able to make it. So
great.
Let me double check that, and I'll see if I can.
Okay.
Make that happen.
All right. Well, we just got it. Like I said, it's just on my cell phone this morning, which is really exciting.
You haven't even answered it yet.
No, I haven't. But it's the third. It's the 13th or the 15th, 16th, 17th, which is right in the middle of fair. And then 29th, and Peggy's gone. So
I think I'd mention to them that that's during the middle of fair because they do it.
Is there any other
sooner or something? Maybe.
Or the next week.
I'll give her a call.
I'll give her a call.
See if I can move it to July sometime. Let me see what I can work out with her because it's really not an optimal time for any of us.
An optimal time for us is putting on fair right then, people shuffling in and out. We want to just kind of be a relaxed atmosphere where they can take all the time they need, so on and so forth.
But we also want them to see us busy.
And we're not running up against it, huh?
We also want them to see us busy, a busy time when there's
lots of fair, that's not,
I like when there's lots of things going on.
You don't need
on,
extra stress, but it's kind of one of those things that...
Yeah. Well, but it is kind
we
of...
We want him here, though, if that's about a week.
Let's see if we can arrange for that earlier rather than later.
Okay, so because we have the Rotary Club funding, because we have the economic development dollars, and Ryan is working with the architect, you want to tell us where we are with that?
Yeah, I'm working with Strauss and Siebert. We've had architects out at the building that did measurements, pictures. We've had engineers there to look at seismic and structural issues. They pretty much have a complete set of as-builts done, and we'll be getting those. We have to make some payments to them, so we're kind of in limbo. We're waiting for legal to finish reviewing the document.
Okay.
Yeah, and then once we do that, then they'll release the as-builts.
Have they given you a number?
No, right now we're working for the assessment. They put a cap. I had them put a cap on the number, but it's basically just time and materials is what we're doing. So.
Good. So they're willing to work with us somewhat?
Yes.
Okay. Definitely. Perfect. We really like them when they work with us. The cheaper, the better, but we want a good deal.
Yeah, and I told them a lot of the work hopefully will be, in kind and volunteer. And so when that happens, I think they're basically trading their time. So they're not charging us for that. Usually, you have like 10%, say, of the project. Well, if it's being done for free from volunteers, they're not charging us that 10%.
Okay.
So depending on how much we have them do at some point,
And we have one Rotary Club that's about 30 members that is offered to do volunteer time on that project. So, and we have other volunteers that are willing to help us as well. So,
but I thought the initial assessment, we want to pay them clear cut, get an accurate assessment of what the current condition is,
right?
And then we can move forward with that.
Okay, so we have the Ford family, which is $150,000. I have written to Otson Foundation, which we've never gotten anything, or never actually even tried from Otson Foundation, but I asked them for $30,000. And then I just put out a letter of interest to the Meyer Memorial Trust, which they accepted for $75,000. And a lot of this is the $75,000 I'm basing to help us with the ADA bathrooms. And Ryan had said that we actually identified a place underneath the grandstand, which might be a better entrance for handicapped people, with people with disabilities. And underneath there is space for a restroom. And so it would be a new restroom underneath there that would take care of that handicap.
So the ADA entrance and the handicap restroom be one in one
kind of in the area down by the horse track. Mm-hmm. Come in that way rather than ramping everything off the midway and then ramping back up to a bathroom.
Right. So it's kind of off the what we call the
footprint.
Okay. Well, it's the arena parking lot. So it comes actually off.
But I thought
there
was a need of expanding that direction so barrel racing can happen. Would that get in the way of that?
So what?
Yeah, it would be on the south end.
That's
so it
on
wouldn't
the south
get in the way of that.
Yeah.
So and then hopefully.
So not on the west side?
Yeah,
no.
Hopefully south. The loft area and all that we can. Okay. I'd like to see that go away.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we had talked about that it needs a little bit more room for the barrel racing. And so if that was the handicap entrance, I'm like, well, that'll interrupt that.
No.
Okay, you're saying
yeah, it's on the other it's
all
on
right.
the side where
I try to pay attention sometimes, but don't.
Well, actually, it was a great idea, and I actually upped the budget to another $75,000 so I could ask Meyer, because one of the things that Meyer really likes to do is take care of people that have the handicap or disabilities.
Nice.
So, and I also have a support letter from Randy at Hassel, which he wrote a very good letter for us, and I don't know if you've seen that. I need to email that to you so you can see it. But I know that's the support for the handicapped people, and you'd be really happy to see that.
You said there was a percentage that this county was really high.
Yes. He gave me information that 33% of the citizens of this county are somewhat disabled. 33%, that's a third of our population, somewhat disabled. So some more severely than others, but, you know, that's the figures that they have, which I was really shocked to see that. But and then we're inside the arena, we're also going to make some additional handicap viewing areas because we don't have, we have one little piece about as big as this table for handicap viewing right now. So we need to accommodate those people. So that's why I upped the budget another $75,000 to, in addition to what we already had, so that we could do some new things, and hopefully that covers everything. But
great.
So it's up to $579,000 right now for the total project. That includes the roof and the restrooms and the viewing areas and painting the inside.
That's if you get the Ford and everything?
Yes. Okay. Well, if I get, yes, the actual budget is up to $579,000. So, you know, we go with what we get. And we try to make accommodations for that. And Ryan's happy for every dollar I get. So
yes.
Okay, I think that kind of updates you on where we are with the grant. And I'm very happy I got a site visit report.
Yeah, that is good.
Master, I'll be really brief. I know you guys are, you've got other things. Master Plan Committee has met, and they're putting together a proposal that they will be taking to the board in May. To have the Fair Board look at what they've come up with. And then if the Fair Board goes along with that, then they will bring it out to the commissioners and to be sure that Ryan's in the loop and all that. So that I know
the concern that I had on the master plan is that they limit it to what the footprint of the fairgrounds.
Oh, they are. That's all they're doing.
So they're not in there thinking, oh boy, we're going to have forestry and parks goes away, we're going to do...
direction you gave us. So we're inside our current footprint right now. And so they'd like to have something to the Fair Board that third week in May, and then we go from there. So I thought that was fairly aggressive. The group that's going gangbusters right now is the equestrian group. I'm here to tell you they've gotten dirt. They're filling the stalls right now as we speak. They're actually putting dirt in there, and they've got some decomposed granite that they'll tap down in the stalls.
Yeah.
DG?
Yeah, that's dirt.
Dirt, yeah, okay. Well, they're doing two different kinds. They're doing some
soil
fill,
yeah,
some fill and then some DG on top of it that will pack down better. So they're moving forward on that, and most all of it's from donations that they've been able to get. We had one sponsor come up with $2,500, Low Construction. It was Rod Lowe. And then we had two other private $500 sponsorships on that. So it's great because it's all.
That was the $2,500 one was at the Fair Board meeting that was standing room only, which I walked in with, what the heck going on here? And boy, the time they started firing stuff out, you know, all of a sudden, you know, Lowe from Mr. Lowe, I'll take that $2,500. I thought. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I wanted to bring that up.
It's a big benefit for horse racing.
It is. It's huge. Well, it's huge for 4-H and everybody else that's going to use those stalls, because they really realize that the stalls are where the money is going to be coming from, because when you do events, you make more money on stalls than you do on renting the arena.
Well, and I think they one of the things that was a good point that was brought out is that if your stalls are good, people, they want to know where their horse is going to be, not
very expensive
not where
horses.
Their wife is going to eat, but where is that? Where's my horse going to be? And if those stalls are in need of repair and on the brink of dangerous to the animals, harm to the animals, they're really, really saying, no, we'll pull out. And that word spreads fast. But the word also spreads fast when Grants Pass has just upgraded all their stalls, bang. Now all of a sudden you've got horse events that are saying, you know, I would bring my event there, but your facilities aren't up to snuff.
We've lost three of them because of the stalls.
Because of the stalls.
Yeah, just so this last year. You know, big ones.
Good to know.
So all this together.
So after they're done, can you reach out to those three groups and say, by the way?
Yep, by the way.
We can meet your needs now.
Yep, we can.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
Once we get them up and running, they've been working on the doors. And Little Alice actually came through and Cindy's welder guy in for no charge to fix the bad doors. Little Alice.
Oh, wow.
So.
People Louis? Stepping forward.
There's people. Yeah.
Lawless?
Yes.
Say that again. I didn't get that.
I guarantee you.
I've known that old guy.
He
ever.
Is absolutely.
Ever.
He's got a welding shop, and he sent him in to do the doors.
Well, they did all.
And they're not charging us.
His ranch in Keno, they bought him. They bought pipe. I don't know where they got all this pipe, but all of his fencing, all of his corrals were round tubing.
That's what I heard.
And he built everything, but he's got.
It's
he
supposed
has
to be
the,
beautiful.
The whole thing that cuts out the notch, and they did it all right in their shop.
Yep.
They have a fantastic facility over there.
Wow.
Yep, that's what we've heard.
All out of
dryer rollers.
2-inch round pipe. Was that what it was, the dryer roller?
They're dryer rollers.
Well, I'll tell you what, it did look good. I used to go over there and hunt on when they sold that ranch, by the way. But.
It's top notch. Active Club came to me. As you know, we're in a partnership with parking during the Boatneck. The Boatneck weekend, they're going to have shuttles that are going to come and go out of the fairgrounds. And then day before yesterday, Western Beverage came to me, and they've got the Clydesdales coming. And so they are going to stable them inside the arena for 2 days before they can move into the park. So that's hot off the press.
That's awesome.
That is very awesome.
When they had the Clydesdales here, what, 5 or 6 years ago, they had the Clydesdales. They were over here marshaling for the parade on C Street. They almost couldn't get them out of there because the people were something they'd never seen before. They were trying to get people out of there.
You know, we've already got horse racing coming in with horses and things that are there, and figured that the indoor arena is the safest place for them. Not only will they be safe, people can walk around in the indoor arena out up above on the viewing areas without being down in there as a liability. Yeah. So that's good coming call. Together, and they're doing a donation for that to the fairgrounds. So. Anheuser-Busch, which is Western Beverage, is doing that piece of
now,
it.
Are they charging for parking out there?
No.
You say they're going to use your parking lot to marshal cars.
I'm charging them.
But I mean, that's what I mean. Are they charging the public bucks to park?
No.
But you're charging the active club?
I am.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
And they're okay with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just a token.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to partner with them. I want the Active Club to be used in the fairgrounds. So
they're putting on a concert somewhere. Where
they are down at the park.
Down at the park.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll be a rock band warrant. So, Lord McIntyre called me. His property's going up for sale. I went to the emergency management seminar, and thank you very much for allowing me to go. It was excellent. I'm here to tell you, I was the only fairgrounds facility manager that was there for the fairgrounds, and they all said from FEMA on down that other fair managers should be there, because this is where people go when we have a problem, when we have an issue.
Thank you for doing that.
That's good.
You couldn't have paid it. And truly, I have to share this with you, that these managers' meetings really work, because we all go around the room and talk about what we're doing. I was sitting next to Dagami, and they wanted to talk about fuel storage, and I'm texting Larry Graves on my phone. He's out of the country on vacation. And we're having a conversation, and I got the head people's names that they want to come down and meet with Larry about airport and fuels and things like this, which is not in my wheelhouse at all.
I explained that.
And so anyway, I happened to be at the table with the head of the National Guard and the GAMI and the whole thing. And it was just, if I wouldn't have attended the manager's meetings, you guys, I wouldn't have known enough. I didn't know enough to be dangerous, but I knew enough to be effective. So I just want to tell you, that was a good thing for our county. I mean, had nothing to do with fairgrounds at that point. But anyway.
But do we have a fuel storage on that side of the river for anything? Or do we have
IV,
any fuel storage?
I think, a little bit. Yeah. They want to know about IV air.
Yeah, IV.
So,
you know,
Matt, Affordable Equipment has a huge,
what was fuel storage truck for the airport that he got from somewhere. I don't know if it's still up there, but
yeah.
there's those kind of vehicles out there that are movable.
I think they just put an engine in that. Huh? I think that's one they just put an engine in. It's mobile, you go out. But the fuel in, you don't
like
have
an 80,000 gallon truck or something that,
yeah.
Or it doesn't even look like a truck. It looks like
they would be considering us for a whole lot more things if we had more fuel storage, is what they basically told me.
Yes.
And they wanted to talk.
And we're working on fuel storage because we've got a couple of projects for fuel storage.
Well, you never knew when the fairgrounds manager was going to fly up with that one.
You got it.
So anyway, I've talked to Scott with Transit, and I'm going to meet him next week. We're still talking about doing some shuttles for parking during some designated times during fair.
For fair.
Okay. For fair. So that's coming up. Sora's got their contract in their hand. Thank you for working with us last week, Commissioner, and on that. And so I think everything's moving forward with the options that we had given them for this year. They know that next year the contracts are going to look completely different.
Good.
My Fair Board has also talked about, since Portland Meadows uses part of that as a training, that maybe we need to be looking at two different contracts, a training contract and then a contract for action during the meet, because it would look different.
You know, we talked a little bit about the training, that if Portland Meadows needs a training facility down here, I just want us to make sure, and I'm sure you're aware of it, that, you know, Love Abounds, you're trying to use the same facility. So, you know,
Love Abounds is who we have an agreement with for year-round.
Right. So that's what I mean. It's year-round.
I totally understand that.
That would affect Love
I
Abounds.
We totally understand.
We need to make sure everybody's in the room. I don't want either one of them to pull out.
Nope. We need everything to make happen. Talked with Kevin at YMCA, and they're going to move forward and pave more of that parking lot.
Good.
He and I walked through that about 2 weeks ago.
How much are they?
It needs to be more.
Part of their agreement was to do a certain amount every 5 years or something.
Well, I think as the cars move back into that area, and that isn't completely...
it says in the contract, as the cars expand into the parking lot, they're supposed to pave as far out as they go, like at least two more. There's lights out
roads.
There.
Right.
Yeah.
They need to come out more than that, because when I went to meet with Scott, with Kevin, I was way out the parking lot on rainy day, way out the parking lot, like halfway down to the BMX track. So that was interesting. But anyway, he's moving forward to having a discussion. I said to be sure to talk to us before you do it, because I want to be really sure that it's the right amount at the right time. So, you know, I don't want him just in there parking 2 feet, you know, doing striping for 2 feet when you need to go in deeper. So that's coming up. There was something else.
The floor.
Ryan and I had talked, I don't know, 6 months ago, we've been trying to get Kirkman to come do the floor doing the sand blasting on
the commercial building.
Yeah. And he has not been able to do it. So the new gentleman that that's going in our RV park is actually a cement man. And so for the last 3 days, we've just been taking the crud off the floor. So, and sweeping it, and they're wearing masks and all that kind of thing just to get...
And then are they going to put down another product?
The paint is off.
Yeah.
And I still need to talk to Ryan about that, but they'd like to do a stain. They looked at a stain yesterday. I talked to Rada. They came and gave us a quote. They've been really good partners because they're giving me paint that's not lead-based paint. so that when we have projects that we can actually paint with, but they want to stain the floor. And Rada,
seal it with something and stain it, and then,
well, they didn't say about stealing it, they were talking about staining it, and that's what I need to talk to you about.
Some of the stains that they have now are really good, and they penetrate.
It's called
even
shark skin, maybe. Does that sound right?
Not real up on the names, but yeah, I know there's some products out there that I've heard good things about, and they penetrate into some even old concrete.
That's what they said.
Now, anything's going to look better than what it did.
Well, it's going to look better, but are they grinding this stuff? Because there were some cracks and irregularities in there.
And he's patching it right now.
Okay.
He's ground it and patched it. We went and used a machine from over in Medford, and I've got two guys that are sweeping behind it, and they're patching the floor. So it's, you know, not
level.
Okay. What are they? Do you know what they're using to patch it, or?
I do know, and I don't remember what it's called. I can. I'll get back.
Don't want it to pop over time like some stuff does.
Okay. Luckily, he's a cement guy.
Yeah.
I'll be back with you today.
Yeah, the patch it with is going to be considered a cold pour.
Yeah.
And it'll, you know, you can.
Well, he actually poured for Winco and Red Robin, the floors there. So,
well,
we'll get back with you when
he's
back.
There's some experience there, it sounds like.
Yes.
So that's a good sign.
Oh, so, yeah, it's not just the guy off the street. And it's not somebody scraping.
I did my garage last year.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, all right.
Well, when we talked, you said find somebody to fix it. So.
When's all that going to be ready? Is that going to be ready well before fair? So
oh, yeah.
There's going to be some odor involved in it.
Actually, what we did, what we did is we're just patching right now. We have foam show next weekend. We can't do anything until that's all done. So that gives me time to work with Ryan to be sure that we've got the right seal stuff that's going to go on the floor. So, but it's something called shark skin. But anyway, they told me I need 60 gallons of it. The head of Rada came down. Okay. I need 60 gallons, and then I talked him into a fair sponsorship for 20 of it. So,
okay.
But I want, I'll send you the particulars on the sealant.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So that's going on.
It's moving ahead. That's
as we speak.
That's the plus there.
Yes. And so I think that is
it.
I think car that's swap meet. Yeah. Car swap meet is coming along. They've got flyers that are just going out now. And it'll look like this. You don't have it in your packet, but this just came out. We're folding these because we have a brand new folding copy machine that is folding like 2,000 of these. And so these will be going out in the next week.
Okay.
Anyway, things are moving forward, and we're really, really busy, which is great. And your team's been in and out of there. They're putting in light packs in the back that we'd ordered
for the Dole Dairy Barn.
Yeah, that's very
a huge helpful difference.
Thank you.
Oh, are they fixing them? Okay.
Yeah, lights, and then they're putting the power pack on the back of the Square Dance building, so the lights actually go into the parking lot.
We're going to put switches in the old dairy barn so people aren't using the breakers to
that
turn
that would
the
be
lights
wonderful.
On.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
The other thing is
breakers are a safety device, switches are an operational device. Don't mix the two up.
Yeah, for years they've been flipping the lights
every
on
time
and off.
Every time you flip a breaker, do a breaker, it weakens it just a little bit.
Well, and that they've been going around and they've been changing that out, which is really nice. It's very
mounting,
much appreciated.
Light switches right off the panel.
Yeah, don't require
a contact or
just put a loop through it, switch leg, and you're set.
Lock the panel.
I just don't want to use a safety
that
device for operation.
Panel to be sure that's happening. So anyway, we're just extremely busy. So
that I don't allow me to do anything.
And then you see on the back of your packet that we're still in the back.
Good job.
And that's a great place to be at this time of year because normally it doesn't look like that. So, and where I'm about done with my hours with Ryan. So.
All of you, good
so
work.
I'm about.
I'm excited about the master plan. I'm excited of what the board has really gotten their sunk their teeth into the fact that the but it was with the commissioner's commitment to the fairgrounds. I think is probably
absolutely
the big thing that
that's
pushed the forward.
Huge, that letter is huge, and it's huge for the grant writing. Believe me.
We're moving forward. Takes us all. Thank you.
Any other questions, Commissioner? Do you have any of them?
Thank you.
Good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Stop to get
here we go.
We're done right here. Do you got a minute?
Yeah, we're just, we've got board business. We've got 7A, 7B, and 7C, which are all resolution matter of reappointments to stuff from you. You read through
them? I read through them. I'm willing to push them forward.
Okay.
Consent calendar.
For any other matters from commissioners?
I don't have any.
Okay. Thank you. Then we are adjourned at 11:09.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.